Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. But he did not answer her a word. St. Matthew tells us in today's gospel lesson that this Canaanite woman had come to Jesus and she had said, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. And the Bible tells us, but he did not answer her a word. That's troubling, isn't it? Jesus did not respond to this woman's request. He did not answer her prayer. And there's no explanation given. And I think that's troubling because it kind of hits close to home, doesn't it? It's uncomfortably similar to what we sometimes experience in our lives of prayer. You can probably think of a time in your life when you say to yourself, I prayed to God repeatedly, I prayed to God fervently, and he did not answer me a word. He did not grant what I asked for, he did not say yes, and he didn't even give a clear no with an explanation. Like when God said to Paul, No, I won't take away your thorn in the flesh, because my strength is made perfect in weakness. When I send a text on my iPhone, at least I get a little response saying message delivered. Or it says message read, 3:27 p.m. But often with God, we wonder, are my prayers even reaching their destination? Is God listening? But he did not answer her a word. Before we go any farther with today's gospel lesson, we can already take a little encouragement from this. Our struggles in the faith are not unique to us. The great saints of old, like this Canaanite woman, they dealt with the same issues. So after getting no response from Jesus the first time, she speaks to him again. She says, Lord, help me. And this time Jesus does answer her. Our Lord says, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. You think, boy, okay, it's not silence, but is it really much better? Instead of silence, now we have an insult from Jesus. When Jesus speaks of the children and the dogs, he's speaking of the children of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, and the dogs are the Gentiles, everybody else. This woman was a Canaanite woman, so Jesus is implying that she's a dog. But she doesn't give up, and she speaks to Jesus a third time. And the ESV renders it this way. Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Now here, I want to pause and actually make a little note on the grammar here. There's actually a small mistranslation that significantly affects the meaning of what this woman said. And Bible scholars have noted this, and yet, for some reason, our English translations tend to follow the precedent of earlier English translations and not the straightforward meaning of the Greek. And the problem is just one word. In the ESV, it's yet, or in some translations, it's but. There's no Greek word that means yet or but right there. When you say yet or but, it makes it sound like this woman is gently opposing what Jesus just said, or she's slightly correcting what Jesus said. But that's not the force of the Greek words. In fact, if you're someone who likes to take notes in your Bible, you could actually safely cross out the word yet or but and instead put in the word because or for. The point is not that she is disagreeing with or correcting Jesus. The point is she is completely agreeing with Jesus and even adding a supporting reason for what Jesus said. A more literal rendering would be, yes, Lord, for indeed the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. This woman is saying, yes, Lord, you are completely right. I know my place. I'm just a dog. I'm just a Gentile. And all I'm asking for are the crumbs. And then immediately, Jesus granted her request. The demon was gone. Her daughter was healed. St. Paul once said that the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. And here we might add, the crumbs that fall from God's table are more sumptuous than the greatest man-made feast. This Canaanite woman, she is a model of faith for us. And we know this because Jesus said, "Oh, woman, great is your faith." So what's so great about her faith? Her faith is great in its simplicity. She simply believed what Jesus said. She said, "Yes, Lord, what you say, I believe that. Yes, Lord, for indeed the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And she believed not only the words of Jesus, God in the flesh, standing right there in front of her. This Canaanite woman also believed at least some of the words of God from the Old Testament. Now remember, she was not a Jew. She was a Gentile, a Canaanite. But she knew enough about the Old Testament to address Jesus as Son of David. And she knew enough of the Old Testament to know that through this Son of David, God was also going to bless the Gentiles. Maybe she knew something like one of the texts that we read for our Old Testament lesson today. If you glance back at what Isaiah wrote about the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord. And Isaiah wrote, "The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, 'I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered.'" Maybe this Canaanite woman, she knew the story of Abraham. How in Genesis 12, God chose Abraham and said that Abraham and his descendants would be blessed. But in that same chapter, God also said that through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. I don't know how this woman knew those things, but she knew them. She knew that her Lord Jesus spoke the truth, and she believed it. She knew that this was the Savior for Israel. He had come to save his people, the Jews, and that through Jesus and through the Jews, grace would also come to the Gentiles, even to her, even to you and me. She said, "Yes, Lord." And those words are easy to say, aren't they? Yes, Lord. It's easy to say those two words. And at the same time, it's incredibly difficult to say those two words, isn't it? A lot of our struggles in the faith come, in fact, from our inability to say those two words from the heart. For one thing, we have a hard time saying, "Yes, Lord, I am a creature. I am your creature." We all know that God made us. That is easy to understand. But that also means that God, as our maker, he has defined us. He has made us finite. God has placed limitations on us. He is the potter, and we are the clay. And our sinful nature rebels against that, sometimes violently. I want to give an example, an extreme example of what I mean by this. In modern America, even in just the last few years, one of the most offensive verses of the Bible has become Genesis 1, verse 27. The words of Scripture say, "Male and female, he created them." And what do modern people say? "How dare you define me with gender-based words? I will define myself with the pronouns that I deem appropriate. I will choose to identify as male or female or maybe something that is neither of the two." And I think most of us recognize, well, that's madness. Yes, but what kind of madness is it? It's the madness of the creature rebelling against the creator. It's the madness of the clay saying to the potter, "No, Lord, you may not define me. I reject your definition, and I will define myself." Now, it's always easy to see the sins in other people, the sins that are out there, right? But if we're honest, and we really reflect on our own hearts, we find the same sin of rebellion against the Creator in our own hearts. How often have you been dissatisfied with the way God created you, with where he has placed you in life? We say things like, I wish I were smarter. I wish I were more outgoing. I wish I were thinner. I wish I were stronger. I wish I were more like him. I wish I were more like her. I am dissatisfied. Or maybe the dissatisfaction is with where God has placed you in life. People say, I wish I were married. Or, I wish I weren't married. I wish my job were not so difficult. I wish I had a job. Now, there's nothing wrong with trying to improve yourself. There's nothing wrong with seeking to improve your position in life. But there is something wrong with being perpetually dissatisfied with who God made you to be and where he has placed you in life. St. Paul famously wrote, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. St. Paul was saying, yes, Lord. Lord, you have placed me in this circumstance. Give me the strength to be content. Lord, you have blessed me with this limited set of abilities. Help me to use them to your glory. Lord, you have set this particular work before me to do today. Help me to do it faithfully. Lord, you have placed this particular cross upon me. Help me to bear it patiently. Lord, you have given me this particular promise. Help me to believe it with all my heart. You are the potter, and I am the clay. And this Canaanite woman, she was saying the same sort of thing, wasn't she? She's saying, yes, Lord, you have created me to be a Gentile. You have defined me. So be it. I will feast upon the crumbs that you have appointed for me, because I am your creature and you are my creator. Our flesh struggles to say that. Lord, I am your creature. Our flesh also struggles to say, Lord, I am a sinner. One of the most common complaints that people level against God is that he is not just, right? You hear this from non-Christians all the time. God is not just. He's not fair. But even for us Christians, we may not say it with our mouths, but the thought does pop up in our hearts, doesn't it? We look at the way God deals with us and how he allows things to go in our lives, and we think, this doesn't seem fair. This doesn't seem just. And yet in the Bible, the question of whether God acts justly, it's not a major question. It's in the book of Job and a few other places. But for the most part, the big question is not, does God deal with us justly? The question is, do we act justly toward God? God has written his law in our hearts. Our consciences testify to God's law. We know we ought to be decent people. We know we ought to act justly. But have we? Even in our consciences, we have this sort of natural sense that the magnitude of a sin depends not only on what you do, but on whom you sin against. If a guy punches his neighbor, that's bad. If a guy punches his mother, that's despicable. Even though it's the same action, we just kind of have this natural sense that because of her office in relation to him, that's even worse. And if he punches the President of the United States, if the Secret Service is around, he might be fortunate to escape with his life. We have this natural sense that if you sin against someone of higher rank, the sin is even worse. We all have sinned against the living God. That means every sin is an infinite crime. Every sin is deserving of infinite punishment. And when we consider our sin in this way, in the biblical way, it really does change the way that we relate to God, doesn't it? The person who recognizes his sin in the biblical way does not go around complaining, saying, God, I wish you would treat me more justly. Because justice is the most terrifying thing. Justice would be damnation. Our prayer as Christians is not, God, give me what I deserve. Our prayer as Christians is, God, thank you that you have not given me what I deserve. Thank you that you have been merciful to me for the sake of Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed for me on the cross. When we Christians approach God in prayer, it's not because God owes us anything, but it's because for Jesus' sake, God has promised us everything. And so this Canaanite woman, she's a model for us in faith. She said, yes, Lord. We say the same thing. Yes, Lord, I am your creature. Yes, Lord, I am a sinner. Yes, Lord, you are the Son of David, come into the world to save the Jews and to bless the Gentiles, to save the Gentiles through them. Yes, Lord, you are my Savior, crucified for me and raised again from death for me. Yes, Lord. And we Lutherans, we have a word for all this saying, yes, Lord. It's to confess. And confess actually isn't a Lutheran word, it's a biblical word, but we Lutherans say it a lot. Confess means to say the same. God has said something, and we repeat it back. Yes, Lord. We earlier confessed our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. What did we do there? We said, Lord, these truths you have revealed in Scripture, we say the same thing. We're repeating them back. When we confess our sins, we are saying, Lord, by your law you have revealed that I am a sinner. I say, yes, Lord, I confess. I say the same. I am a sinner. And to confess is not to claim to understand everything. To confess is simply to believe what God has said and to repeat it. Like this Canaanite woman did when she said, yes, Lord, for indeed the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. So let's go back to the problem that I raised at the beginning of this sermon. So what do you do when you pray to God and his response is like his initial response to the Canaanite woman? He did not answer her a word. You do exactly what the Canaanite woman did. You fall back on the words God has already clearly spoken in Scripture. And you cling in faith to those words. The woman did not receive an immediate response from Jesus. Nevertheless, she knew that God had promised in Scripture to bless the Gentiles through this Son of David. God had promised. Likewise, when you pray, you may not receive an immediate and clear response from God. Nevertheless, you know from sacred Scripture that God has promised to hear and to answer prayer. God has promised. Every time you pray, God will either give you what you ask for, or he will give you something better than what you ask for, if you ask for something that is not beneficial. But there is no prayer that is without effect. There is no prayer that is ignored, no prayer that accidentally lands in God's junk mail folder. In fact, it may very well be that one day when you meet God in glory, he could very well say to you, you remember back in August of 2020, on Friday the 14th at 6:23 a.m., when you prayed for this or that certain thing, and you'll say, I don't remember that in particular, maybe that was one of those days where I kind of half-heartedly mumbled my prayers. And God will say, Well, my child, I was listening. You had my complete, full, undivided attention. That moment and every other moment of your life. Because I promised. God has promised. How do we respond? We say, yes, Lord. I believe it. I confess it. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.